been a long time since I was up here, hasn't it? I've really missed it. You don't know how much you guys as a class mean to me. And the honor of teaching this class is tremendous. I know I went on vacation and went to see Amy, and then Brother Jim taught two times this morning, please, Flower Fund. And Brother Jim taught, and then we had the missions conference. But I thank God for the being able to teach. And last time I was in here, I told you about we're going to be looking at, we've been looking at glorifying God. And if you will, turn with me to John chapter 16. I'm gonna read some scriptures today that are the simple scriptures. I'm gonna read some scriptures today that are simple scriptures that we've all looked at many times in our lives. But the power in those scriptures of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's ministry and of the deity is tremendous. And I was laying in bed last night. I was telling one of the brothers a while ago. I was laying in bed last night, and these scriptures that I'm going to give you right now, which were simple, we all know them, but they come to me as I laid there just like in a row. Like, I said, man, this is awesome. And I said, well, I'll get up and write them down. And I said, no, I'll just get them in my head and memorize them. Not word for word, but where to go to. But when we look at John chapter 16, one thing about the Holy Spirit that we don't, the Holy Spirit has a ministry. And I've covered this in this class before. People will say, well, like in 2 Thessalonians, where it says, when the Antichrist comes and the Holy Spirit being removed, and a lot of people have different sayings, and we'll be going to that in a minute, of what that is. But what I'm showing you here, and people will say, well, the Holy Spirit's always been here, and it has. And always will be here, and it always will be. But one thing we can never forget is what Jesus said. There's ministries of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says right here, he says, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Now, you can't get any clearer than that right there. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some mysteries that we're dealing with in this Bible that we're to be stewards of. And that don't mean I understand them. That don't mean I understand them thoroughly. It just means I believe them. But we're stewards of those mysteries. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, as I was thinking about this last night, I had total intentions of going directly, and I may do that today, we may have time, into what the Holy Spirit does here, his ministry. And that helps us to understand 2 Thessalonians. Look, he says right here that the Holy Spirit in 16, and I'll briefly go over them, we may go back, he will reprove the world of sin. The world is being reproved today of sin by the Holy Spirit through the children of God. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Could you imagine when that's removed? Let's think what the world is today, even with the reproof. And of righteousness, of judgment, then he will guide. He will speak God's word. He will show you things to come. And he will glorify God. Now, the lessons and series that I was on when I came to this was we were looking at glory to God and bringing glory to God. And the Christian's life, our total life, is supposed to glorify God. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life, is to glorify God. And then when you go on, he'll fulfill the Bible, complete the writing of it. That's in there. And he'll show it unto you. He's talking to the ones that'll be right. He would show it unto them. He will quicken your mortal body. Now, we'll look at some of these other things. we'll go. But I want us to turn today to Genesis chapter 1. And if you've ever talked to a Jehovah Witness in your yard or at your house, most of the time I meet them in the yard. And we talk there. But what I'm going to read today, and it's like I've said, we've seen it so many times. But there's some things that we can't separate. We can't separate Jesus Christ from God. We cannot separate him from the Holy Spirit. And we cannot separate any of that deity. Nor can we separate his word from him. His word, he said he preferred above it, you know, it was higher than his name. But it's the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. His word. See, he spoke. Now watch these things here in this book as we read these scriptures. Simple verses, I've been over 100 times. But when you're studying by subject sometimes, some of these will speak to you. So watch this. Now I want you to watch this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What I'm going to read to you today is not controversy. It's not great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And Paul said, without controversy. No arguing about it. No talking about it. But watch this. Now watch this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. All right? So there you have God and the Spirit doing the same thing. As the same thing. In the beginning, God and the Spirit. Now watch this. Turn with me to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by him, who? Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So in two verses we see that in the beginning God. And they also see the Holy Spirit. Moved upon the face of the waters. Then we see here in Colossians that it was Christ. Is that, hey, how can people look at, and when you say, well, Jesus wasn't God, how could they say that? With two simple verses. And we hadn't even got started yet. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 1. All right, here we go. God who at sundry times and in divers manners, chapter 1, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers, by the prophets. Now, I could keep running and go show you where the Spirit spoke to them. But we're not going to chase ever branch off of this. But you catch where I'm coming from here. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Okay? Now turn to 1 Timothy 3:16. When you put all these together, then you don't have to correct this Bible. You just let it stand on what it says. Okay? And I want to read one of this other verse with it. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You see that? I'm manifest in the flesh today. Standing right up here. You're looking at Joe Allen, manifest in the flesh. My Bible says right here, my King James Bible, God was manifest in the flesh. And I don't need that corrected to say he who was manifested in the flesh. See, if I just say, well, Jesus was made known in the flesh, or the Son of God, or Christ made known. No, it was God manifest in the flesh. God was made known in the flesh. Now, I want you to turn to Romans 8, 9. You see how these are following suit? I was laying in bed last night and I thought of every one of these scriptures. I just broke them into this lesson. I said, I'm going to read these this morning. I should have marked my Bible. It takes a long getting there. I apologize for that, but we'll get there eventually. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now watch this, guys. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see that? There you put, right in that one verse, they're made equal. They're made the same. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have the Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. Right here in this. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. I and my Father are one. People who miss this, as I've said many times in this class, have built a foundation on what to already believe, or building a foundation to support their lifestyle. One of the two. They're not looking at scriptures. They're not looking at the scriptures. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 3:3. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Paul, we minister by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When you serve a man, the Word of God, you're serving him Christ. Amen. Well, verse 2, ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now this is a little s there, and I went to a commentary and looked at it and read it, man, and I I can see exactly what he's talking about, and I can kind of agree with him. He said that's the spirit that we have in presenting it. But as I read this, I kept seeing the ministry of the Spirit there. I couldn't totally agree with him. I'm speaking now as just what I saw with this. For as much as you are manifested and declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God, to Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The spirit of Joe Allen ain't going to give nobody life. Okay? So that has to be the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which gives a man life, a new birth. Okay? That's a ministry of that Holy Spirit right there. And now, I want you to look over a little farther. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, what Spirit is he talking about? Like I've said many times, don't just take that one verse. Go back and see. He's talking what he's saying here. For as much your epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And he ministers through his word, through us, as he did Paul. And it gives life. I guess I've met a lot of people in the last couple, 3 weeks. You know how it is when you run into different people, different funerals, different churches, different denominations. And I just don't understand how people can see what they see. They're not reading the book. They're not studying the Bible. Why? I read the first two verses there in Genesis. And I saw where God created it. Then I saw where the Spirit moved. Then I turned to Colossians and seen where Christ did it. Then I turned to Hebrews and seen where Christ did it. Then I seen where Paul did it, but it's God that did it through him. And it was the Holy Spirit that did it. And Christ, the Lord, is that Spirit. And that's a capital S there. That ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't claim to, I'm not a Bible scholar by no means, but I know where the answers are. They're laying in front of me. And I need to rightly divide the book, and I need to search the book out, and I need to look at the scriptures and see what God says about it. And as I was looking, and you say, oh, how did you get to all that? Well, God just gave it to me last night, and I'm bringing it out this morning, but the thing that was in my mind here was looking, and I want you to look at in John chapter 16. I want you to turn back there. You know, when we get into it, the Bible words things, and wording is so important. And what I want you to watch today is when I read in John chapter 16, and then we'll turn to 2 Thessalonians. And when the same words show up, you know what that does for me? That answers questions. When I pick up this commentary and this man says, well, that's not the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's this. Then this other guy says, well, that's the Holy Spirit. Then I say, well, what does God say? What does the Bible say? And what shocked me as I sit down and read this is the same wording. And we'll get into this. It's going to make sense to you a little bit. I can tell you don't now. What I'm talking about, you think, well, where are you going with this? But watch this. Let me start in John 14, okay? John 3:3. I want us to turn there. Then I'm going to run this rabbit just like we did the other one. But you just can't take one place in the book and one verse. You got to go back all the way. See what the total book is saying. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, turn to John chapter 14, verse 16. And I've seen a little bit of this work ministry of the Holy Spirit this week. and I saw my brother's wife just really, I mean, you're not married to someone 50 years and 49, 50 years, and it's taking your soul out of you. But I watched a young man preach the Word of God who's been preaching. He's been practicing there for 13 years old, but he's 13 years, something like that. Get up and comfort. But you see, it's just like I was reading what Paul said a while ago. It's not us. It's the Spirit. And the Lord is that Spirit. And that Word of God, and that Spirit, and you can't separate them. God's Word is so powerful. And you can't separate the Spirit from the Word of God. You better not try. People will say, well, you taking wood, paper, and ink and making it God. No, I'm taking God's Word, not paper and ink, or I wouldn't be writing all over it. But when God spoke, the Spirit moved, didn't it? Huh? Wasn't that what happened in Genesis chapter 1? God spoke and the Spirit moved? God speaks today, and God spoke here, and when this word is out, the Spirit moves. All right. In John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Here we have the Holy Spirit named again. And it's called the comforter. Christ is the comforter. God is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. Even the Spirit of truth. Now, pay attention to these words, okay? In John chapter 16, pay attention to these words because they're going to show up again in 2 Thessalonians. Judgment and truth and righteousness. Okay? Watch these words as you go through. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Okay? Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Then he was dwelling with them. But it said, he shall be in you. Now, just in your mind, go back to that scripture we read about knowing how to behave in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. So what is the house of God? all of us, the body of Christ. That's not that you know how to act in the church. The church is not the pillar and ground of the truth, this building. But we are. Why? Because Christ is in us. And the Holy Spirit, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Mystery, you can stay up all night and you're not going to figure it out. God revealed it, but you stay up all night, you ain't going to figure it out. We're going to start looking again at some of these mysteries. And Paul said we're stewards of them. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, moreover, it is required as stewards that a man be found faithful. Faith, what's he talking about? Faithful to what? To the church? Yeah, but he's talking to ministers, stewards. He said, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it requires in stewards that a man be found faithful. If our preachers over the years and our Sunday school teachers and our everyone had been faithful to these mysteries, we wouldn't be where we're at with every church up and down this street. That's a fact. Because the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of his body, the church, those are critical. Now watch this wording again. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Did you get that? He said, I'm going away, but I'm coming back in another form. That's what he's saying there. I will come to you. How a man's got to butcher this book to not see deity. If he butchers this book, he can work his way around it. But that's what he's got to do. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's that mystery body, the church. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me and keepeth not my sayings, And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now look back up and let's go back up and look at let's go to 16, chapter 16. But we see there in chapter 14 that he's going away, but he's coming back. And he's not that he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's coming, the Holy Spirit. And people will say, well, how can you say the Holy Spirit's always been here? He wasn't in. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit's going to leave here one of these days. And when he leaves here, he's taking something with him. The house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, the church. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Only he who letteth will let until he be taken out. All right? And a lot of people will explain that, what that he is. But Jesus told me what that he is. He said, except I go away, he will not come. And he said, when he goes away, in a few years. I'm coming back. The ministries of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to make this complicated. I'm just trying to follow some scriptures. It may sound complicated, but it's not. Now, in John chapter 16, let's look at this. But these things, verse 4, these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Watch the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter that we read about in John chapter 14, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Yes, he's always been there, but he came. Now, you can stay up all night and try to figure these things out. I mean, God does what he does, and deity is deity, and it's too smart for us, and these things are too high for us. Neither can I attain them. And when he has come, you watch this. And when this is what you're going to see, we won't have time to get into this thoroughly today, but it's what you're going to see in 2 Thessalonians, okay? And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You know, my mind can't keep up with how God speaks a lot of times. God can speak in from the beginning to the end. And I can't, a lot of times I can't comprehend. You know what I'm saying? Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. We know he's still here today. But brother, when Jesus came and he went to Calvary, what did it say over in Genesis? He said, I'll crush him. Even though he's not giving him the boot yet. Boy, he crushed that head at Calvary, didn't he? Huh? He crushed that head. Now his judgment come, he said. So, howbeit when he, you see that? That he? Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That Antichrist, who's going to show up, as long as the Holy Spirit's here, brother, I'll tell you, there's people sitting right here in front of me today recognize that radical. I'm serious. Because that Holy Spirit is a revealer of truth, and he's the judgment of sin, and he exposes the world of sin, and he will expose the man of sin. Now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. We ain't going to have time. Maybe we'll have time to read it. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. But what I want you to watch is the wording. Folks, wording is, when you're searching out, rightly dividing the scriptures and going into finding answers to the word of God, watch the wording. These same words show up again. Now watch this. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that, these people thought, some people's been teaching these people that they're in the tribulation period. And brother, they probably thought they were because they some heads rolling. You know, there's some hard times. We don't see them times yet. But we don't. There ain't much reason for us right now to think we're in the tribulation period. But with them, when they've seen people, James and all the disciples, seen beheading John and what they've seen of persecution like we've never seen. But let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now next week, we'll run and look and see what he told them. That's what I was looking at here a couple of weeks ago. All right, second bill. What did he tell them? Look that up yourself. Go to the first book and see. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. You know what he told them? He told them about the Holy Spirit and the mystery body. He said, now you know what withholdeth. For the mystery, now you watch this one. This is one of your mysteries. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There's that he. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, his coming. He's already here, and he's us, but he's coming again. The Holy Spirit was already here, but it came. Amen? I'm not saying that to sound complicated. It's complicated, but it's ministries. Okay? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Not the truth that we were talking about in John 16. And the Holy Spirit does what? Bears truth. Reveals truth. If he's going to get his lie across, he's got to have something out of the way, buddy. And that's the Holy Spirit. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. You see that unrighteousness showing up? Righteousness. The Holy Spirit is right in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So you see those words showing up? Truth, unrighteousness, righteousness. And now, folks, that's what helps me to understand what that he is. Now, our preacher preached a good message, a beautiful message, and he used this illustration, which was a good illustration, that when the church was taken out. But when the Holy Spirit leaves here, brother, it's taking something with it, ain't it? Because it can't be separated from it. Why? Because he said in John 16 and 14, he'd be with us forever. So it's the church. But it's the Spirit. That's that he. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day you've given.